Come to order, please. The Senate will come to order for the 52nd legislative day. Will members please vote to signify their presence in the chambers.
The roll shows 12 members present this morning.
A quorum is present to conduct business this morning. This morning's chaplain is Senator Jones. Will all please rise for the invocation.
Heavenly Father, we adore you and admire you, for your wisdom is great. As we in prayer approach your holy throne, we are more than aware of our faults. We take this opportunity to request that your strength be shown perfect through our weaknesses, that in our darkness you would bring light, in our despair you would bring hope, in our doubt you would bring faith. Lord, you know our most inner thoughts and needs. Continue to rule in our hearts as we persevere to cooperate with you and one another today. Give us clear minds to discern the right choices for each decision. Give us strength to stand firm with courage and humility, that our lives might be spent in your glory instead of our own. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Senator Strzelczuk, will you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Coghill, you're seeking the floor, sir.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent the prayer be spread out the journal.
Without objection, this morning's prayer will be spread on the journal. Madam Secretary, you will show the presence of Senator Fisher in the chambers, please. Do we have introduction of guests? Senator Coghill.
Madam President, it gives me great pleasure today to introduce to you a lovely lady in the gallery that is the executive director of the American Legislative Exchange Council. I've distributed on each one of your desks the material on the work that the Legislative Exchange Council has done. It gives me great pleasure to introduce their executive director, Connie Hickman. Connie, welcome to our.
Madam Secretary, you show the presence in the chamber of Senator Halford. Further introduction of guests. Senator Coghill.
Madam President, it also gives me great pleasure to introduce a friend of mine from the North Pole area, Don Troutman. Don, welcome to the Senate.
Madam Secretary, will you show Senator Euling's presence? Senator Strzelczuk.
Madam President, I'm delighted to introduce a constituent of ours and one that has been a familiar face in Juneau, and we've tried to work out some of the problems dealing with the guide industry, and he's been always very helpful. Jim Harwer is here.
Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Madam President. In the gallery behind us, we have a constituent from the Kenai Peninsula. This lady, 18 years ago, did work for me as a secretary, and of course it doesn't show with her age, but she is the present president of NEA Alaska, Judy Salo.
Further introduction of guests. Senator Fanning.
Thank you, Madam President. Since our senators from Palmer-Wasilla area are not here, I'd like to introduce a couple of their constituents in the far gallery, Mr. Rocky Keene and Kurt Dean.
Secretary, you show the presence in the chambers of Senator Hensley, Senator Zaroff, and Senator Duncan, please. The Finance Committee did go over, and that's why people are late. Senator Halford.
The Chugiak Eagle River area would like to claim Kurt Dean.
Further introduction of guests. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm a little bit late getting on, so I'm not sure if this gentleman's been introduced, but I think not. In the far gallery is a gentleman I haven't met yet, but I understand he's going to be the new general manager, or is a new general manager of KJUD here in Juneau. He's from Anchorage, John Carnos.
Madam Secretary, Senator Binkley has joined us in the chambers, and I saw as the doors opened Senator Szymanski wandering around in the hall, so he'll be in shortly. Further introduction of guests, please. Senator Zaroff.
Yeah, thank you, Madam President. I don't know if this gentleman's been introduced, but I know he spends some time in Bristol Bay. He spends time here in Juneau. I think he spends time in Anchorage, and the gallery being
behind me, I'd like to introduce Dean Paddock.
Further introduction of guests. Can we have the certification of the journal for the 51st legislative day, please? Senator Farenkamp.
May we have a brief at ease?
Senate will stand at ease without objection. Senate will come back to order. Senators, we do have a joint session at 11. Under introduction of guests, Senator Farenkamp.
Madam President, it gives me a great pleasure to introduce a friend and one who produces from the Mickey Company that produces our statutes. Those of you who haven't met him, I hope you do get to know him as Philip Lamar, who's the Vice President and the Director of Cove Publishing. Philip, welcome to the Senate.
We are now 20 strong, Madam Secretary, with the presence of Senator Szymanski in the chambers. Further introduction of guests? Now may we have the certification of the journal, please, for the 51st legislative day.
I wish to certify as the correctness of the journal for the 51st legislative day.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 51st legislative day be approved as certified.
Without objection, the journal for the 51st legislative day has been approved as certified by the Senate Secretary, by the State Senate. Do we have messages from the Governor?
Message dated February 26, Dear Senator Fakes, on this date I have signed the following bill and I'm transmitting the engrossed and enrolled copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 18, CNRA, an act creating the Anchorage Coastal Wildlife Refuge and renaming the Potter Point State Game Refuge as the Anchorage Coastal Wildlife Range, providing for an effective date. Chapter 8, SLA 1988. Sincerely, Steve Cooper, Governor. That is the only message from the Governor this morning.
Do we have messages from the House of Representatives?
Message dated February 29, Dear Madam President, the House has passed Committee Substitute for Senate Bill Number 330, Finance, with the following amendment. House CS for Senate Bill Number 330, Hess, an act making appropriations to the Department of Education for K-12 support, providing for an effective date, and return for consideration.
Mr. Majority Leader, Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order. We do have before us House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 330. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move that the Senate concur in the House amendment to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 330. Finance, and thus adopting the House version.
Object.
There has been an objection. Is there debate?
Question.
Senator Abood.
Have it at ease, please.
Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come to order, please. The Senate will come to order. The motion is before the body to concur in the committee, the amendments to Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 330 Finance, thus adopting the House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 330 Hess. The bill is up for discussion. Senator Szymanski.
Thank you, Madam President. I just wanted to rise in support of the motion to adopt the amendments made by the House of Representatives to this bill. It is, I know, a difficult task for many people to see us pass an early portion of the operating budget on to the state of Alaska, but I think that knowing the deadlines that the school districts have by April 1st dealing with budgets, that it's most appropriate to advance this legislation at this point in time, getting it off the table and certainly showing our commitment to the three significant portions of the education budget that are in there. Full funding for the foundation, the school debt retirement, which is near the heart of Senator Tula and I because of the schools in our district that have been constructed and the good faith and effort that we've made in the past to support those projects based on state's contribution is being met here. And the first time in many years we're seeing full pupil transportation funding advancing to the people out there who for years have wondered whether or not we're going to carry that obligation. I can only say that it sends a clear message to the school districts out there, and hopefully the school districts that Senator from Kenai and I and Senator Hill have been working with, particularly on the opening of several schools, the school in Nikiski and Soldotna, two important schools in our district. Ultimately, with the passage of this legislation, we'll see the sufficient funding available, the budgeting available to see the opening of those schools, and maybe even setting a precedent where in the future we won't be hesitant to advance funding for education in a timely manner. So from that perspective, I encourage good, strong show of support for this legislation.
Further discussion, Senator Rohde.
Given the Senator's comments, I have to rise because I think it hasn't been said what is really going on. The bill is a good one. Unfortunately, the debt reimbursement is a problem. The governor has voiced that. We may well not be doing anything speedily. In fact, if we don't resolve the debt problem, we may be waiting around until we have a veto override session, and it will do nothing to enhance education. And speedy action on this may, in the long run, end up in depriving our school districts of the money. I think we're better off to go to a free conference on it.
Further discussion?
Question.
Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. When this bill originally passed out of the House, there was some discussion of putting education first and whether that was really fair. I think it was the intent of the original Senate legislation to put education at the front of the line. I think it belongs at the front of the line. The House added provisions that were at a different level in the original Senate bill. I think that is an early commitment, and it's a stretch. But I think at this point, that stretch is a positive one.
Further discussion. Senator Duncan.
Thank you, Madam President. I was not going to speak today, but since the co-chair did, I thought maybe I might just make a couple points. I think education should also be the top priority and be at the front of the line. I have no problem with that. I've been a strong supporter and advocate of educational programs in the 14 years I've served and will continue to do so. I think as we're doing this, we should also consider that there are other important programs in this state, and that we should realize that what we're doing before we know how much revenues are available in this state and how much money we're going to have to operate state government in the coming years and provide for some very needed programs, that we are committing by the passage of this legislation, not only what's in this bill, we've also committed $75 million in a jobs bill. There's also about $150 million in debt service that you can't touch. So about $800 million or slightly more than that of our total spending plan, which is much more than 30%, has been or is being committed by the passage of this legislation. I don't begrudge the appropriation to education. I think it's important. I think, though, as we're doing that, we should also be making the commitment now to adequately address the other needs and concerns in this state, that we should, yes, put education at the front, but also say we're going to remain committed to providing the other programs and services that this state needs and the citizens of this state needs in order to carry on the standard of living that we've become accustomed to, and in order to provide needed services to senior citizens and those who can't help themselves to a great extent. I've heard a lot of talk over the past day or so about how what we need to do is go back in now and take some reductions in the operating budget, that there's a lot there that can be done, that it's a 6% overall increase, that it's not a maintenance-level operating budget. I don't think those comments necessarily have that much merit or substance to them at this time. And I would invite members to review that operating budget in detail and look at where the increases are, and look at what really is being proposed by the governor. It's easy to say it's a large increase with no substance to it, but if you look and look very closely at it, you're going to find a lot of those increases are coming about because of a variety of things that are happening in this state. Elections in this coming year is increasing the lieutenant governor's office by $1.5 million. The Department of Law is asking for $6.5 million more to pursue more oil and gas litigation. Are we going to take that out? I would hope not, because I think that, in the long run, is going to give us more and more revenues. There's $5 million in increased caseload and COLA for AFDC and adult public assistance and general relief medical. $9 million or $9.5 million for Medicaid increases. $7.9 million increase for the new correctional facility at Spring Creek. And the list goes on and on. There's a lot of needed services in that operating budget that need to be funded. Yes, we should make the commitment to education. We should also make the commitment to continue those other needed programs and services and not go about this saying, okay, we'll fund this and then take a reduction somewhere else. We've been concerned about the economy in this state. We've been concerned about providing programs and services. We shouldn't kid anybody by thinking that we can reduce the other portion of the operating budgets to make up for this increased level of funding without doing serious harm and detriment to the economy of this state. I'm willing to make this commitment. I'm also willing to make the commitment to fund the other needed programs and services as we address the operating budget further on down the line.
Senator Curtulo, you were seeking the floor, sir.
President of the Senate, it's my opinion that the organized school districts, the urban school districts, expected and proposed to the people that voted for the bonds to build the schools that there was going to be a full 80% entitlement. I've heard debates in committee that that wasn't the intent, but my memory as author of the legislation is that it was the intent. Further, the previous administration introduced legislation to reduce the entitlement from 80% to 70%, and the legislature did not act on that matter. It's my opinion that that was a further indication that we intended to supply the 80% for school construction. This bill does that. I support this amendment.
Senator Hensley.
Thank you, Madam President. I wish I could believe that the spending of over $625 million was on the education of our students was going to make a huge difference in what's going on in our classrooms. But, Madam President, I would recommend, and I know that my comments may fall on deaf ears, but I would prefer to see this bill go into conference committee. At the very least, I think that we would have an opportunity to sit down and talk with the Commissioner of Education on this report that has just come out. It's called Basic Skills Performance of Alaska Students. And, Madam President, we have had huge expenditures on education over the last 10 years or so. The unfortunate facts are is that we have, for instance, in the urban area, one-third of our high school students who perform math computations or read below the national average. And in the rural areas, this study is done by district, taking test scores. It shows that 70 to 80% in the rural areas perform below the national average on tests in reading and mathematics, and in some instances up to 90%. And I think what we need to be doing is asking the department and the superintendents what they're going to do about improving the learning that's taking place in our schools. And I would urge that that somebody, the finance committees in particular, who have the ability to sit down and ask for certain commitments before we spend this kind of money on our school system.
Senator Rohde.
I move and ask unanimous consent that we hold this bill on the table until Friday.
There's been an objection. There's been a motion to hold the bill until Friday. The motion is before us. There's been an objection. Discussion is on whether to hold the bill until Friday. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to speak in favor of the motion that was advanced by the senator from Spinard. I had planned on bringing this or giving notice of reconsideration on my vote on this bill. I will be out of town and off the floor tomorrow and would have liked the opportunity to debate that under reconsideration when it comes back up. And I would like to ask the body for consideration of that fact that I will be out of town tomorrow. I don't know whether it's appropriate to go through the vote and then ask for reconsideration and then ask the body to delay that until Friday, or simply take the bill up on Friday and then give a commitment to the body that I will not ask for reconsideration after that vote on Friday.
There's a motion on the floor to delay the bill until Friday. You're seeking the floor, Senator Rohde.
Madam President, my reason is obviously the bill is controversial. There are some difficulties. If it's possible to work out some of those difficulties without a collision over a very important matter, then I, rather than have a vote on it now and solidify matters, it would seem the best course of action and in both the short run and the long run, perhaps the maximum amount of public good being done.
Thank you, sir. Senator Coghill seeking the floor, then Senator Halper.
I rise in opposition to the motion because I will be off the floor on Friday. I'm holding a seminar at the University of Alaska on Friday and on transportation, and I think that this is going to be a close vote. It's a critical vote. I think that when we talk about the main issue, Madam President, where we're talking about an up and down on school bond and indebtedness for the it has nothing to do with the main thrust of the forward or the funding, early funding of the school foundation formula. That's exactly the same that we sent over from the Senate. The main issue is, are we going to live up to the 80% commitment to the districts in the bonding, in the retirement of their bond? And I certainly would like to see us, if we're going to hold it, that we make sure that we have a consensus in the Senate that everybody's on the floor.
Further discussion on the motion to hold the bill until Friday. Senator Kelly.
Madam President, I have a problem with the motion because I don't plan to be here Monday. And so if we wait until Friday to hold the vote and it's reconsidered, then I don't get to vote on it Monday.
Further discussion on the motion to hold the bill. Senator Fisher.
Yes, Madam President. I think the question came up. Somebody had stated that this is a controversial issue. I don't look at it that way. I don't think it's controversial at all. The whole way through the process, I could not get over the fact that we had, for example, NEA agreeing with school boards, school supervisors, superintendents, seniors, any segment of society out there that we represent have endorsed this, and they want to see it brought to a head, and I think to delay it will cause the controversy, which I hate to see. That's why I would favor up or down today.
Senator Lyson. Senate will stand at ease. Senate will come back to order. There's a motion pending on the floor to delay the vote on committee substitute for Senate Bill 330 until Friday. Discussion on the motion. Senator Rohde.
I withdraw my motion.
Motion has been withdrawn. Motion pending before us is the concurrence vote on committee substitute for Senate Bill 330 Finance, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 330 Hess. Further discussion on the motion before us. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I do have a fairly lengthy presentation to make on this legislation and debate in not concurring, but I realize that we're scheduled to go into joint session at 11:10, and so in deference to the body, I will hold my comments, and hopefully the body will allow me the courtesy to bring it back under reconsideration on Friday to advance those arguments.
Further discussion? Senate will stand at ease. Back to order. Is there further discussion on the concurrence motion on House Bill Senate Bill 330? Further discussion? Further discussion. Question has been called. The question being, shall the Senate concur in the committee substitute in the House amendments to committee substitute to Senate Bill 330 Finance, thus adopting the House committee substitute for Senate Bill 330 Hess? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary may record the vote. Thus, the Senate has concurred in the House amendments by a vote of 17-3, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 330 Hess. Senator Binkley. Mr. Majority Leader, will you recess us, please, to the joint session? Senator Binkley?
I think we've got an effective date.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir. Effective date, Senator Eliason. Thank you.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate vote on House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 330 Hess be also
final vote on the effective
date. Consider the final vote and effective date clause.
Hearing no objections, the final vote on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 330 Hess will be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to serve notice of reconsideration on my vote on, it's all gone, but Senate Bill.
On Hess Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 330.
House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 330. Yes.
Notice of reconsideration has been given. Now, Mr. Majority Leader, will you, Senator Ewing?
Thank you, Madam President. Can I quickly revert back to introduction of guests?
Without objection, Senator, we'll revert to introduction of guests. Senator
Ewing. Real quickly, thank you, Madam President. We do have three guests in the gallery behind me that I'll introduce that are from Anchorage, Charlie Selman, Don Skewis, and Ed O'Neill. And if they'll rise, I'm sorry to...
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate stand in adjournment, a recess, for a joint session for the purpose of a judiciary message from Warren Matthews, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, and we intend to reconvene at 1 o'clock.
Without objection, the Senate stands in recess until 1 o'clock today for joint session.
This afternoon. are the reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill number 75, repealing the 25-cent resident hunting, trapping, and sport fishing license, and a majority of the committee recommended it do pass. Excuse me. The report was signed by Senator Coghill, chairman, concurring Senators Sturgalewski, Fanning, and Fisher. Senator Duncan signed no recommendation. Senator Jarhoff signed do not pass. And Senator Eliason said amend to pass. The committee further attached a fiscal note and a zero fiscal note. Senate Bill number 75 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Transportation Committee considered Senate Bill number 265, boat numbering, accidents, and safety, effective date, and a majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill number 265, transportation, and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Jones, chairman, concurring Senators Abood, Coghill, and Fahrenkamp. There is a new fiscal note attached. Senate Bill number 265 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Hess Committee considered Senate Bill number 375, licensing school bus drivers, effective date, and a majority of the committee recommended do pass. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, chairman, concurring Senators Jones and Curtula. Senator Fanning signed do not pass unless amended. Senate Bill number 375 has no further referral.
Rules Committee, please.
The Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered Senate Bill number 424, procurement by state agencies from certain entities. Majority of the committee recommended it be replaced with committee substitute for Senate Bill number 424, CNRA, with a new title, and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Sturgalewski, chairman, concurring Senators Zemanski and Halford. Senator Jarrow signed a recommendation. There is a new zero fiscal note attached. Senate Bill number 424 has a further referral to the Labor and Commerce Committee. Community and Regional Affairs Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 244, Second Resources, relating to the addition of land to Kachemak Bay State Park and Kachemak Bay State Wilderness Park. Reports it back as follows. Senator Sturgalewski, chairman, and Senator Zemanski signed to pass. Senator Jarrow signed a recommendation. Committee substitute for House Bill number 244, Second Resources, has a further referral to the Resources Committee. The Resources Committee considered committee substitute for House Bill number 356, Rules Amended, authority of the Alaska Public Utilities Commission in connection with certain activities of the Alaska Power Authority, certain agreements among certain public utilities, and calculating power cost equalization relating to certain meetings between the Alaska Power Authority and public utilities effective date. And the committee recommended to be replaced with Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill number 356, Resources, and do pass with a letter of intent. Senator Coghill, chairman, and Senators Fanning, Elias, and Sturgalewski, Jarrow, Duncan, and Fisher signed to pass. There is a negative impact fiscal note attached. CS for House Bill number 356, Rules Amended, has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered Senate Joint Resolution number 65, Over the Horizon Backscatter Radar Systems, committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 46, Transportation Amended, requesting the Federal Aviation Administration to exempt aircraft in Alaska from regulations on the size of aircraft registration numbers and on supplemental identification plates. House Concurrent Resolution number 37, 20th Annual Girls State, and House Concurrent Resolution number 37, 22nd Annual Boys State. The majority of the committee recommended calendar. The reports were signed by Senator Elias and Chairman concurring Senators Hensley and Jones. SGR 65, CSHGR 46 Transportation Amended, House Concurrent Resolution number 36, and House Concurrent Resolution number 37 are on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports this afternoon.
Do we have reports of special committees?
There are no special committee reports.
Do we have introduction of Senate resolutions?
There are no Senate resolutions for introduction.
Do we have introduction of Senate bills?
There are no Senate bills for introduction.
That brings us down to the consideration of the daily calendar.
Senate Joint Resolution number 65 by Senators Coghill, Zemanski, and Curtula relating to Over the Horizon Backscatter Radar System. The State Affairs Committee considered this resolution and a majority of the committee recommends do pass. The report was signed by Senator Booth, Chairman, concurring Senators Ewing and Hensley. Zero fiscal note attached. The Rules Committee considered this resolution and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chairman, concurring Senators Hensley.
have any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate Joint Resolution 65 be considered as rose. Advance the third reading and place on final passage.
Hearing no objection, Senate Joint Resolution number 65 is before the Senate in final passage.
Senate Joint Resolution number 65 related to over-the-horizon backscatter radar systems.
Discussion. Senator Coghill.
Madam President, just briefly, the resolve on line 20 says it all. It says that the request encourages the Air Force to make use of local businesses and employees when contracting, purchasing, and hiring for the over-the-horizon backscatter. We all know that it's a $4-point-some-million-dollar project that's going into Tokyo, Kona, and we want to make sure that the message is loud and clear to the Air Force that we, as the Senate and the House of the State of Alaska, that we want local hire and local purchase.
Question. Senator Ewing.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just a question. What's the time schedule for the backscatter radar system? What are we looking at as far as getting that done?
Senator Coghill.
Madam President, the radar backscatter, they are doing the site surveying and site selection now to make sure that they have their EISs in order. It looks to me like next spring will be the contracts that we're looking for new power construction in the Gakona area. I would suggest that probably by 1991 we'll have it online.
Further questions? Hearing no further discussion, the question has been called. The question be, shall Senate Joint Resolution number 65 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Does any senator fail to vote? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. And the Senate Joint Resolution number 65 has passed the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas with 2 excused absences. Next item on the calendar, please.
Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 46, Transportation, amended by the Transportation Committee, requesting the Federal Aviation Administration to exempt aircraft in Alaska from regulations on the size of aircraft registration numbers and on supplemental identification plates. Transportation Committee considers this resolution and recommends it be replaced with Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution number 46, Transportation, and a majority do pass. The report was signed by Senator Jones, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly and Coghill. Zero fiscal note attached. Rules Committee considers this resolution and recommends calendaring. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, concurring Senators Hensley and Jones. I have a Senate Committee Substitute.
Senator Jones.
I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute House Joint Resolution 46, Transportation, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Senator Fanning, there is an objection. Do you wish to speak to your objection, sir? The motion is before us to adopt the Transportation Committee Substitute for the House Joint Resolution number 46. A brief at ease has been asked for without objection. To order, there's a motion pending before the body to adopt the Transportation Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution number 46. Are there any objections? There has been an objection noted. You withdraw your objection, sir? Hearing no further objections, the Transportation Committee Substitute for CS for House Joint Resolution number 46 has been adopted by the Senate and is before us.
Senate CS for House Joint Resolution number 46, Transportation, by the Transportation Committee requesting the Federal Aviation Administration to exempt aircraft in Alaska from regulations on the size of aircraft registration numbers and on supplemental identification plates.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 46, Transportation, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed in final passage.
Hearing no objections, the Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution number 46, Transportation, is before the Senate in final passage. Madam Secretary, you read the bill for the last time.
Senate CS for House Joint Resolution number 46, Transportation, requesting the Federal Aviation Administration to exempt aircraft in Alaska from regulations on the size of aircraft registration numbers and on supplemental identification plates.
Senator Halper.
Thank you, Madam President. At the beginning of the session, I introduced a resolution similar to a resolution introduced in the House. The House resolution passed first. This is a committee substitute which picks up the language of the Senate resolution. basically it addresses the 12-inch N numbers, as they're called, on aircraft flying into or out of or through the air defense identification zones. Because of problems with drug traffic in the South 48, the FAA has adopted regulations which require 12-inch numbers. They applied 12-inch number requirements across the country in 1981 to take effect in 1983, so all current aircraft have the 12-inch numbers now. However, aircraft that haven't been repainted from that period still can carry the 4-inch numbers. It's a very small number of aircraft. It also applies to antique aircraft. But what this does is it addresses a situation that is correcting itself in large part. And I had passed out copies of the ADIZ to all members, and it shows the old identification zone with Alaska being essentially barriered off from the South 48. The new ADIZ, which takes effect in May, will not have that effect. So most of the problems with the 12-inch numbering requirement will be taken care of internally by the FAA. However, there is a period when there are some aircraft planning to come to Alaska for a conference or a fly-in, and they wanted to have a provision whereby the head of the Alaska region of the FAA could provide by telephone a waiver from the 12-inch number requirement. This is a Cessna 170 Association. The Alaska region head has proposed that himself, and this will be supporting his proposal to the federal agency in D.C. But it provides for temporary relief. It encourages the FAA to go forward with the new designation of the Air Defense Zone, or NORAD, to go forward with that. And it also provides that in some areas of western Alaska, which are just out of the edge of the Air Defense Identification Zone, there be also exemptions granted so that aircraft in Alaska can operate with the small numbers if they currently have the small numbers. It doesn't increase the small number aircraft eligible, and current law provides that all aircraft painted after 1983 have to have the large numbers.
Further discussion? Senator Hensley.
Madam President, I would just like some clarification on this air defense zone. It appears from this little map here that Kotzebue and Nome and maybe Barrow would they be also exempt, or would they be required to repaint their numbers on the aircraft?
There are points in western
Senator
Alaska.
Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. Excuse me. There are points in western Alaska which still will fall outside of the ADIZ line or in the zone. And that's what the second resolve applies to. It applies to granting exemptions. And remember that there are very few airplanes that fall into this category. It is only airplanes that haven't been painted since 1983 and had the small numbers on, or antique aircraft, which generally aren't used in commerce anymore. But the second resolve applies for an exemption for those communities in western Alaska who have to go back and forth across the zone on a continuous basis.
Further discussion? Senator Zara.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam President. I guess I'm just a little bit concerned, and I think I'd be more inclined to vote against this resolution in that, for one thing, I guess I really don't understand it that well, because I thought we were, a while back when we were very much concerned about our resources, that we made a very concerted effort to get the letters and the numbers up to the 12-inch size so that we could monitor what was happening with our big game, and particularly aircraft that were either hunting illegally or molesting the harassing the big game out in rural Alaska. And it's very difficult to identify whose aircraft it was if the letter was just a simple 2-inch letter. But when you've got a letter that stands up about 12 inches, you could much easily see that, or a number. Now, I realize here that it says that it's to accommodate the part of it, the International Cessna 170 Association Convention members, or I guess that, I don't know if that's Cessna 170 or what. Is that supposed to be the number of the Cessna 170, or is that the plane or aircraft? I guess that's the aircraft. There's no number of how many people will be coming in. So it's not 170 planes. But the thing is, my concern is that we're allowing people to come in through the through this zone, and once they get into the state, you know, they still can keep the small numbers. But I'm concerned there that if these people fly from
point A to point B and don't stop in between, or really don't make any circles in between, or chase the moose or chase the caribou or whatever it might be, then that's all good and well. But I've heard a number of times there from a number of my constituents where they have seen aircraft out there doing this. And a lot of it was related to the various hunting activities in those areas. Now, we pretty much insisted, I think there that there, we insisted to increase those letters and numbers to that size so they could be seen with a pair of binoculars or more easily identified. So if this is going to be counter to that effort, I think I'm very much opposed to it. And I don't know how the other members of the body feel, but I think I'd like to have some clarification on that.
Senator Halper.
Thank you, Madam President. I appreciate the question because I, too, support the large numbers. I do not support increasing the number of aircraft with the small numbers. But what this is it's only the air defense identification zone. So essentially all the areas where you're concerned about being able to identify aircraft in all of through interior Alaska and all the way down to beyond Cold Bay, you have the large numbers. You're dealing with an existing exemption that was only applied because of the definition of the air defense zone. The new definition of the air defense zone will take care of the in-migration, out-migration problem. But you're dealing with aircraft that are either antiques or were painted quite a while ago. Nobody can go back and paint the small numbers of their aircraft to avoid detection. And it wouldn't be my intent to do that. As a matter of fact, I was one of those who strongly supported the FAA requirement at going back to the 12-inch numbers. I don't think we should be acting against a group that's coming to Alaska that will be spending money in Alaska in the Fairbanks area, or against the incidental use of the occasional antique aircraft, a Staggerwing Beach or something that's painted with the small numbers to meet the original conditions of the way that aircraft was licensed to be authentic. And that's really all it applies to.
Further discussion. Senator Coghill.
Madam President, just add one note to that, the first resolve is actually asking for temporary relief from the requirement and not a permanent relief. Plus, the fact is that if you look at the maps, you'll see that the new defense zone, the interior of Alaska, is out of that defense zone now.
Senator Zaroff.
Thank you, Madam President. I guess I'm still not convinced there. And then, you know, there's still another problem in this. Whereas there, it says that there's been no documented case in Alaska involving small aircraft entering these zones transporting illegal drugs. I hope that that's not going to be a message to say that we don't have a drug problem in the state. That bothers me a little bit because we do have a serious drug problem in the state. We have a serious alcohol problem in the state. And in cases there, it may not be drugs that are being transported around, but there are certainly is alcohol, and we dealt with that issue here a while back. Now, you know, if we're doing this to accommodate a certain size or a certain year class aircraft, there certainly that doesn't prohibit anybody there hauling hill licenses and an aircraft that's 20 years old or 30 years old, as opposed to using an aircraft that's much newer than this. And, of course, we're talking about aircraft that will be coming from out of the state into the state, I guess. I assume that. But it just seems to me that there's going to be some inconsistency here. I can appreciate the concern that Fairbanks has, and I can appreciate the concern in bringing in these people, but maybe there might be some other way to exempt this. I think we're just sending the wrong message. I think it's the wrong message to be sending. First of all, this whereas clause indicates there that we don't have a drug problem, and it's something, if you're into that business, it would certainly be a challenge right away to start looking at that as a possibility. For one thing, it would indicate that there's no air surveillance or that's going to hamper you from doing anything like this. So I guess I'm still not convinced that this is something that we should be doing. I suppose I'm going to be a minority in this one, but I'm still a bit concerned about it, but I'd like to just voice that objection.
Further discussion? Hearing no further discussion, the question's been called. The question being, shall the Transportation Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 46 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has every senator voted? Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. And thus, the Transportation Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 46 has passed the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas with one nay. Next item on the calendar, please.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 36 by Representatives Cato, Navarre, Phillips, Collins, Copenham, Cotton, and Rieger relating to the 20th Annual Girls' State. State Affairs Committee considered this resolution and majority of the committee recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Booth, Chairman, concurring Senators Ewing, Hensley, and Fanning. The Rules Committee considered this resolution and recommends calendar, and the report was signed by Senator Eliason, concurring Senators Hensley and Jones.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Is there any discussion?
Question.
Hearing no discussion, the question has been called. The question being, shall House Concurrent Resolution Number 36 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has every senator voted? Madam Secretary, you may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change his or her vote? Madam Secretary, you may record the vote. House Concurrent Resolution Number 36 has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 37 by Representatives Cato, Navarre, and Phillips relating to the 22nd Annual Boys' State. State Affairs Committee considered this resolution and majority of the committee recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Abood, Chairman, concurring Senators Ewing, Hensley, Justice, and Fanning.
Discussion? Question's been called. The question being, shall House Concurrent Resolution Number 37 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Has any senator failed to vote? Madam Secretary, may lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change her or his vote? Madam Secretary, may record the vote. House Concurrent Resolution Number 37 has passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas. Next item on the calendar.
Citations honoring Herman T. Buchers by Senator Zharoff, Representative Davidson, honoring the Asian Alaskan Cultural Center by Senators Rohde, Sturgiluski, Binkley, and Kelly, honoring Jack and Katie Goddard by Representatives Schultz, Cato, Miller, and Pierce, Senators Coghill, Sturgiluski, Fanning, Halford, and Binkley. Honoring University of Alaska Fine Arts Camp, 25th anniversary, by Representatives Kopanen and Navarre, Senators Fanning, Fahrenkamp, Sturgiluski, Binkley, and Ewing. Honoring Athena Award recipient, Laura Measles, by Representatives Zawacki, Navarre, Swackhammer, Senators Zamansky, Fisher, Kurtula, Sturgiluski. In memoriam, Maxine Walton, by Representatives Frank, Boyer, Miller, Davis, and Schultz, Kopanen, and Wallace, Senators Coghill, Fahrenkamp, Fanning, and Binkley.
Discussion. Senator Kelly.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent I be allowed to be shown as a co-sponsor of the citation honoring Jack and Katie Goddard and Maxine Walton.
Without objection, Senator Kelly will be shown as a co-sponsor on Jack and Katie Goddard and Maxine Walton's citations, please. Senator Eliason.
I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to the citation honoring Jack and Kathy Goddard and the citation honoring University of Alaska Fine Arts Camp.
Without objection, Senator Eliason will be shown as a co-sponsor on Jack and Katie Goddard's citation and University of Alaska Fine Arts Camp citation. Senator Josephson.
Thank you, Madam President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that my name be shown as a co-sponsor of the citation honoring the Asian Alaskan Cultural Center and the citation honoring the University of Alaska Fine Arts Camp.
Without objection, Senator Josephson will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Asian Alaska Cultural Center citation and the University of Alaska Fine Arts Camp citation. Senator Kurtula.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I'll be shown as a sponsor of the citation, the Asian Alaskan Cultural Center, and the one honoring Jack and Katie Goddard.
Without objection, Senator Kurtula will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Asian Alaska Cultural Center citation and Jack and Katie Goddard citation. Senator Hensley.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a co-sponsor of the Asian Alaskan Cultural Center.
Without objection, Senator Hensley will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Asian Alaskan Cultural Center. Senator Ewing. Without objection, Senator Ewing will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Asian Alaska Cultural Center. Senator Zharoff, without objection, would like to be shown as a co-sponsor on the Asian Alaska Cultural Center citation. Further discussion? Mr. Majority Leader.
and ask unanimous consent that the citation calendar be approved.
Without objection, the citations on today's calendar will be approved. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring the Welsh Alaskans on St. David's Day be taken up as a special order of business at this time.
Without objection, the citation honoring Welsh Alaskans on St. David's Day will be taken up as a special order of business at this time. Madam Secretary, we read the citation.
Honoring Welsh Alaskans on St. David's Day by Representative Grunberg.
Senator Coghill.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that my name be added to it, but why do we have it up on the front of the resolution instead of at the bottom? Why is his name up there by Representative Grunberg at the top of the citation rather than down by the people that are? Is that out of it? Kind of, isn't it out of style?
This is a rough draft, Senator. Mine happens to be at the bottom of it. It's just a rough draft, and that's not the way it will be in final form. Without objection, Senator Coghill will be shown as a co-sponsor on this particular citation. Senator Eliason?
Madam President, the same request.
Without objection, Senator Eliason will be shown as a co-sponsor on this citation. Senator Halford? Without objection, Senator Halford will be shown as a co-sponsor. Senator Rohde will be shown as a co-sponsor. Senator Jones?
Madam President, being a real Welshman, I would like to be added to the citation.
Senator Jones will be shown as the co-sponsor on the Welsh citation. Senator Abood.
Wishing I was Welsh, I'd like the same request, please.
Without objection, Senator Abood will be shown as a co-sponsor on the Welsh citation. Further English blood types that would like to get on this citation? Senator Kelly.
I want to make sure that my name is not on it.
Nor is mine. Senator Rohde.
Correct the statement she just made. The Welsh are Celts, and they are very proud of it, like we Irish.
Seems like it's English to me. Any further discussion on this? Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam President, I move and ask unanimous consent that this citation be approved.
Without objection, the Welsh citation has been approved by the Senate. Unfinished business. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to bring up my reconsideration on Senate Bill 330.
Without objection, Senator, your notice of reconsideration, you may bring up your reconsideration at this time.
Thank you very much, Madam President. As I mentioned before in the earlier debate, I will be out of town tomorrow, and I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that this bill be held until Friday's calendar.
Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, the reconsideration on CS for C, Senate Bill 330 will be brought up in third reading on Friday's calendar. Senator Zara.
Thank you, Madam President. I would like to give notice of reconsideration on my vote for committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 46, Transportation Amended.
Notice of reconsideration on House Joint Resolution number 46, Transportation Amended, has been brought up. Oh, it's been noted. Thank you, Senator. Further unfinished business. Senator Binkley.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused and not subject to the call of the Senate tomorrow, Thursday, be out of town on official state business.
Without objection, Senator Binkley is excused from the call of the Senate on Thursday, March 3rd for state business. Senator Coghill.
I move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate Friday on March 4th be out of town on state business.
Without objection, Senator Coghill will be excused on Friday, March 4th, for state business from the call of the Senate. Further unfinished business. Unfinished business. Announcements. Senator Hensley.
Yes, Madam President, due to conflicts with the Finance Committee, the Finance Subcommittee on the Department of Community and Regional Affairs meetings for tomorrow morning and Friday morning are canceled and will be rescheduled for next week.
Further announcement, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Madam President. Tomorrow morning, the Finance Committee will be starting at 8 o'clock with a consideration of the tax support legislation. And at 10 o'clock, we'll be hearing a presentation from Dr. Galt, who's the administration's consultant on oil pricing and revenue.
Further announcement, Senator
Coghill. Madam President, the normal scheduled time for the Senate Resources Committee is this afternoon at 1:30. We'll will convene after adjournment of the Senate, which will probably be in a few minutes, and we'll be in the Butrovich room. We're going to have up Senate Bill 192, Senate Bill 397, Senate Bill 398, Senate Bill 411, Senate Bill 443, Senate Bill 191, Senate Bill 393.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Sturgis.
So I'd like to give notice of a meeting tomorrow because I can't tell people to do homework, but I hope they will. There's going to be tomorrow, Thursday, March 3rd, a meeting of the Senate Joint Committee on Economic Recovery at 5 p.m. in the Butrovich Room. And what we would hope is to begin zeroing down as to just what we're going to do. And we've submitted a rather extensive notebook of all the bills that are in both the House and the Senate and those that have been proposed, but just in a broad concept form. And I would hope that the members of the committee and other members of this body would come to that meeting prepared to speak to and defend items that and bring up for our consideration items that they would like to see accomplished as a part of that package. We're down to the time, I think, where we're going to have to make some decisions. We have a broad array of economic proposals, and it's time to start bringing down to some specific decisions. We have asked that the Hallwood Group, which has made a proposal, meet with us, and we're hoping that we'll be able to accomplish that next Monday, but we're not sure of the date as yet. Thank you.
Further announcements? Further announcements?
Please, please.
Without objection, the Senate will stand at ease. We are under announcements. The Senate and the cameraman will come back to order, please. Under announcements, Senator Abood.
May we revert, please, to unfinished business? And then I'll go to announcements.
Without objections, the Senate will revert to unfinished business.
Thank you, Madam President. I move an action unanimous consent that I be excused from the call of the Senate on March the 31st, not subject to the call for personal business out of state.
Without objection, Senator Abood is excused from the call of the Senate on Thursday, March 31st, on personal business. Is there further unfinished business? Announcements? Senator Abood.
Thank you. We're supposed to be having a meeting this afternoon at 1:30 on SCR 35 related to Fetal Alcohol Syndrome Awareness Week with a state teleconference. I'm afraid we may have missed the teleconference. However, we'll attempt it if we're out of here by 2 o'clock. And there's not a lot of long-winded senators under special orders. Also, we'll be relating to the 442, which is an act related to the Older Alaskans Commission, et cetera. Thank you.
Further announcements? Senator
Abood? I'm sorry. I have to announce this because the meeting is being held in the Senate Finance Room today. State Affairs will be the Senate Finance instead of the normal.
Further announcements? Senator Hensley.
May we revert to unfinished business?
Without objection, the Senate will revert to unfinished business. Senator Hensley.
Senator, I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be excused on March, Monday, March 14th, and Tuesday the 15th, not subject to call.
Without objection, Senator Hensley is excused from the call of the Senate on Monday, March 14th, and Tuesday, March 15th. I'm assuming it's personal business?
Ma'am, very little of my business is personal. This is not state business. It is our annual meeting.
It's business, business.
Yes.
Where are we? Announcements. Special orders. Senator Joseph.
Request the privilege of the floor to discuss the FDIC.
Without objection, Senator, you have the privilege of the floor. Senator Joseph.
Madam President, I won't be long-winded because I'm getting over pneumonia.
yesterday at 5 o'clock, the Economic Recovery Committee held a session with officials of the FDIC, and I want to commend the co-chair, Senator Jones and Senator Sturgiolowski, for making that meeting possible. And I think it's important to stress to the rest of the body what actually happened. My own thinking about this has gone through several stages or changes. I was enthusiastic about Alaska's involvement in the FDIC portfolio in the first instance. Then we began to hear that appraising that portfolio would be a cost of $250,000, and the earlier testimony from an FDIC official indicated that we'd have to pay about 90% of the market value to acquire that portfolio. And of course, it is a very controversial and complicated subject, but I think it's important to note that last evening, the spokesman for the FDIC said that, in his judgment, the cost of evaluating the portfolio would not be $250,000, but $25,000 or $30,000, which is consistent with the statements made by David Cuddy of First National Bank to a House committee last week. Secondly, it was also indicated that this portfolio could be made available to Alaska at a very significant discount. A very, very significant discount with in fact, FDIC financing the purchase. I just make this point because it seems to me, without saying what we should ultimately do on the subject, we're really at a juncture where I think an investment of $25,000 or $30,000 is well worth doing, and that we ought to get on with that phase of it. And I think the hearing yesterday opened up new opportunities for us to look at. Thank you, Madam President.
Thank you, Senator. Further special orders?
Move on number 7, ask unanimous consent. Number 7 being the Senate adjourned until 11 a.m. Thursday, March 3rd, 1988.
Without objection, the Senate stands adjourned until 11 a.m. March 3rd.